right, thank you. I appreciate it. Go ahead and sit down and we'll get started. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right, thank you, thank you. All right, thank you. Sit down. That's good. Thank you. All right, have a seat, have a seat. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're very gracious and very kind, and I appreciate it. I worked here for 20 years and been pastoring for 20 years, and I come back now, and I see that the college students have not changed a bit. It's to the back and to the right. I like you guys. You're all right, that's good. That is good. College students never change. It is a joy and privilege to be a part of this college. I came here as a 17-year-old freshman, didn't know anybody but God and me, and thought God had forgotten me a couple times there. But the Lord opened up many opportunities, and I've been blessed beyond measure. And of course, I've known Brother Ray for many, many years. We're co-laborers here, and for the Lord for many years, and a wonderful man, and I love him dearly, a good friend of mine. The staff and faculty members here are wonderful people. I remember when I came to college here, I looked at some of the staff and faculty, and they're some of the greatest Christians I had ever met other than my parents up to that time. I thought I could never, ever be like them. And I don't claim to be like them, but I had the privilege to work with them and to learn from them. You have the privilege to learn from these dear people. And it's a wonderful thing. Get to know them and follow them and listen to them as they teach you and train you for whatever the Lord has for you. I want to thank you also for yesterday. I brought a man from my church named J.R. Candeliers. And he grew up in Chicago, and gangland Chicago. And he is a member of my church now for about a year. He got baptized about a year ago. And he used to ride a bus, some college students from this college went up to Chicago and loved a little boy. You see, he told me, he didn't have a chance to tell you, but he told me his mother was a drug addict, an alcoholic. He didn't even know his father. He said he never ever heard his mother tell him one time that she loved him. Never once. He said, I really never had anybody tell me they loved me. He said, but when I was 8, some kids, some college guys from Hiles Anderson came to his house and they told him they loved him. He said, man, he said, I was 8 and nobody ever told me they loved me. He said, I had never heard that before. He said, every Saturday, I would stay home all day because I knew, he didn't call them bus workers, he said the brothers. He said, I knew the brothers were going to come, and I waited until they got there. He said, it didn't matter what was going on. He said, I knew they were coming. He said, and I stayed there because I knew they loved me. He said, I came to church. And the Sunday school teachers, they loved me. He said, I don't know where I would be. Yesterday, after chapel, he took his phone. He showed me pictures of people that were in a gang with him. He said, this one's dead. This one's dead. This one's dead. He said, it had not been for the college students loving me, I'd probably be like them. When he came on campus yesterday, we walked. He'd never been here before. He'd been to the church, but never been here. He came with me. He said, could I go see it? I said, oh, yeah. Come on, we'll ride over. I said, "You can ride with me?" He said, "Oh, no, 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 Pastor, I'm driving." I didn't know if I wanted him to drive or not, but he said, "I'm driving." He drove over. We parked out here. We started walking in. We walked in. He goes, "Wow, this is where all the great men come from. This is it. This is the place." And I said, "Yes, many great men have come from this place, all over serving the Lord." I said, "I don't know right now, but there's some great men sitting in the seats at this college. There's some great men that can go out and build some churches. Great men who go on the mission field. Some great ladies that are going to serve God in mighty ways. Great people here. Let God work in your life. And tomorrow, when you go on your bus route, there's going to be some little kid like JR. And he's just sitting at home waiting for the bus workers to come, so they can have somebody who loves him. Somebody who cares about him. You'll be some little bus kid sitting there waiting for somebody. Mama may be a drug addict like JR's mama was. Maybe they don't know their daddy like JR. Maybe they never had anybody tell them they love. And you might be the only one this week that loves that child. You may be the only one that child walks out and says, "Somebody loves me." What you're doing is big stuff. When you go out tomorrow on that bus, it's big stuff. It's not just a bunch of numbers on a bus. It's a little 8-year-old kid who wonders if anybody loves him. It's just a little 8-year-old girl who's wondering, does anybody care? It's an eternal soul. It's a life. Maybe someday there'll be another JR. He said, "Pastor," he told me this before he came yesterday. He said, "I'm going to get my CDL, and I'm going to be a bus worker." He said, "I'm going to be a bus worker." He said, "Can I be a bus worker at our church?" I said, "Oh, yeah, man, of course." He said, "Can I drive the bus?" I said, "Yeah, as long as you get a license." I want a fellow to the Lord named Anthony, not Wilson. We're still praying for him to get saved. His name Anthony Vasquez, and he's also from Chicago, but lives over by my church. And he got saved, his wife got saved, his children got saved. And so I told JR, I said, "JR, I said, I've got these other converts I got to go pick up. I want you to go pick up Anthony and bring him to church for me, all right?" I said, "You know, I took him over and introduced him. I said, you pick him up, be sure, bring him into church." So he did, okay. So then after church, he came up, "Pastor, Pastor." I said, "What? Have you seen Anthony?" I said, "No." I said, "What?" He said, "I can't find him." I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I've lost my sheep. I only have one sheep, and I lost him. I can't find my sheep." God bless you, JR. I hope you find him. Sunday night, I said, "You find your sheep?" He said, "Yeah, he's out behind the bus smoking, man." New converts, amen. They're good. New converts, they're wonderful. But I just want to let you know, JR came here yesterday. I want to let you know how important what you do, how important it is. I wanted you to know that you're changing lives. You don't know what an impact you're having, but you're having an impact. You're making a difference. And I wanted you to, it has nothing to do with my message at all today, but I just felt that I got to share that with you. When Anthony dropped me off at home last night, it's hilarious. He said, "Pastor," said, "I love that today." He said, "Can I go with you again next month?" I said, "Yes, Anthony." So he'll be back again. He said, "They have an online college, right?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm going to take some classes." I said, "All right, Anthony. That's good. I mean, not Anthony, JR. And so praise the Lord. And I want to thank all of you who shook his hand and made him feel welcome. It meant the world to him. Oh, my soul. Because to him, this is the place. And they shook my hand. And they, wow, they were nice to me. Oh, wow, this is a place. And so I appreciate you being friendly to him and helping him. It's a great deal. Now take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Joel, chapter 2. I'll be brief, but I just felt like I ought to share that with you about JR and how important your work is tomorrow and on the weekend when you go pick up these kids. Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, and it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." And you don't need to turn to it, but I'll read you a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Dear Lord, I pray that you'll help me, please, to be a help to these dear young people here. And I pray that you'll bless them as they go about their business serving you tomorrow, knocking on doors and witnessing and running the buses. Give them power, Lord, I pray. You'll do a work through them and touch lives. But now, Lord, we come to your word, and we seek to gain some knowledge, some truth that will help us to be more like you, some truth that will help us to be better servants. Lord, I pray that you'll help me to be a blessing to these dear young people. Meet with us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I grew up in a Christian home. My home was vastly different than JR's home was. I had a godly mother and a godly father. I grew up in a Baptist church. We went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My dad was a bus captain. My dad was a bus driver. My mother was a Sunday school teacher. My dad was a deacon. We went to revival services. We read the Bible in our home. I never saw alcohol in our home. I never saw drugs in our home. In our home, I was not allowed to listen to rock music. I heard my parents pray. We read the Bible. I went to church. I've never had long hair. I've always had this kind of a haircut, Hiles Anderson haircut. And in fact, when I came to Hiles Anderson, Brother Ray, I laughed at the rule book. I did. I said, "What? Of course everybody lives that. Don't they live that?" "Oh, yeah, you know, it said in there you had to go to church." "Oh, yeah, wow." Yeah, somebody, Hiles Anderson, won't go to church. And I found out. And but I never lived any other life than the life I'm living right now. When I was a teenager, I grew up in a Christian home, grew up in a fundamental Baptist church, heard the preaching. And I want to share something, my personal testimony a little bit and some truth right there with you. But when I was growing up, I heard the preacher say, "You go to church, read your Bible, pray, have standards, dress different than the world, get your hair cut, and you'll live an abundant Christian life." He always talked about that abundant Christian life and how wonderful the Christian life was. And so I believed my pastor and I said, "You know, I'm going to do that." So I carried my Bible and I got my hair cut and went to church and I tried to pray and I did all those things. But my life was empty. There was nothing to it. My Christianity was dead. Oh, yeah, I did everything right on the outside, but my Christianity was dead. I was walking through a mall. Looked at a clothing store in the window, the display window, and there's a mannequin standing there in the window, had a suit and a tie on. And I looked at that mannequin and I started thinking, you know, that mannequin is as good a Christian as I am. I was a teenager and I was growing up in a Christian home, but I was struggling with some of these things, you know. That mannequin is as good a Christian as I am. That mannequin, he doesn't hang around the wrong crowd. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't drink. He doesn't listen to rock music. He doesn't cuss. He doesn't look at any bad magazines. He doesn't have a bad spirit. He's not immoral. He doesn't go down to the beach. He doesn't go to the dance. He doesn't watch filth on TV. This mannequin, and he also had no answers to prayer, no souls won, no power, and no life. And I looked at that and said, "That's me right there." And there are a lot of young people that way. And I started thinking, and I started considering some things. I started looking at it, and I said, you know, is Christianity just a bunch of rules and regulations? Is that all it is? Is Christianity just a bunch of clothes that I have to wear and a bunch of clothes I can't wear? Is all this is a bunch of places I can't go and a bunch of places I have to go? Is it just some music I can't listen to and some music I have to listen to? Is this Christianity stuff? It's just a bunch of rules and regulations, just a bunch of things I can say and a bunch of things I can't say. Is this all it is? I mean, that mannequin, he's looking like me. I look like it. What is this? Is this all it is? And I started thinking about it. I started considering this as a teenager. Is this all Christianity is? Just a bunch of rules and regulations that I have to go by? Is it just a bunch of things that I have to do and a bunch of things I can't do? A bunch of places I have to go, a bunch of places I can't go. And I said, well, if that's all it is, what's the difference between that and Islam? They have rules and regulations, things they can do and can't do, and places they have to go and things they can't go. What good is it? What's the difference between my Christianity and the Mormons? The Mormons have things. They have standards of separation. They have all these things. I was thinking about it, and I said, Lord, if all Christianity is, and by the way, a lot of times we get to thinking that all Christianity is a bunch of rules and regulations and standards and separation. If that's all it is, God, I'll be honest with you, I don't want it. Now, I grew up in a Christian home, but I was looking at it and saying, is this all it is? Is this what it is? Is this what my Christianity is? There's a bunch of rules and regulations. There's a rule book I got to go by. Here's my rule book, and I got to go by that. And I prayed, and I said, Lord, I know you're there. I said, but if you don't show me that there's more to Christianity than this, I'll be honest with you, I don't want it. And there's a lot of people in the world, a lot of Christians and a lot of Christian young people looking at it, maybe even growing up in a Christian home like I did, and saying, you know, if this is all it is, this is it, bunch of rules that I got to go by, Lord, and a lot of them just turn around and walk away from it because they think that's just all it is. And I said, Lord, show me that there's more to it than just a bunch of rules and regulations. As Lord, I'll be honest with you, and I told the Lord, I said, if this is all it is, I don't want it. And I came across these verses in the book of Joel. I kept reading my Bible because I was supposed to read it and in the habit of reading it, and I came across these verses, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And I started thinking, you know, and God's kind of just impressed on my heart, what your problem is you don't have the Holy Spirit of God and His power, because that's what makes a difference. The Bible says over in 2 Corinthians, what I read earlier, the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. You live by the letter of the law, it's going to kill you spiritually. But you live by the Spirit, and it gives you life. And the thing that's wonderful is that God says everybody can have this power of the Holy Spirit. He says, I'll pour my Spirit upon all flesh. That means, he said, old flesh and young flesh, smart flesh and dumb flesh. Pretty flesh, ugly flesh. Oh, hey, Brother Bailey, I thought it was Snipes over here. He said, I'll pour it on all flesh. He said, I can't, on the rich and the poor, the masters, the servants, the men and the women, the tall and the short. Amen. He said, I'll pour it on all flesh. Everybody who wants it, he says, I'll pour my spirit on all flesh. The strong, the weak, the talented, the untalented, the healthy, the sick, the educated, the uneducated. Hey, the wonderful thing about it is that any Christian who wants the power of the Holy Spirit can have it. It's not limited to certain people. Anybody who wants it can have it. He says, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh. And as it goes on, though, he says, and what's going to happen? He said, I'll pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. That word prophesy just means that you're going to talk to other people about the Lord. You know, the truth of the matter is. Yes. The truth of the matter. There we go. The truth of the matter is that a lot of times people don't want to go soul winning, because you know what happens? Here's what happens. If we go in our own strength and we don't go in the power of the Holy Spirit, you knock on the door. Hi, I'm from First Baptist Church. Wham. Hello, I'm from First Baptist Church. Get out of here. I don't want you Baptists coming back again. Hello, I'm from First Baptist Church. Blankety blank Baptist, you keep bothering us. Get out of here. From First Baptist Church. Get out of here. I'm going to call the police.
I'm from First Baptist Church. Please don't hit me.
And we go out and we come back and nothing happens. Nothing happens. But you know what? When you have the Holy Spirit go with you, he starts working in their lives. And the Holy Spirit is working on them. And the Holy Spirit, and you start seeing people get saved. And man, when you start getting people saved, you're going to like it, man. I mean, you're going to like it. The other day, I won a fella named Frank to the Lord. And I was saying, "Woo! I like this." I walked down the street on this Monday, knocking on doors. And it was cold out there and snow on the ground and miserable. And I'm saying, "Lord, why am I here?" And I walk down the street, knock on doors, and nobody talked to me, nobody home, and this lady walking a white dog down the street. And she said, "Hi." I said, "Hi, how you doing, ma'am?" I said, "I'm Pastor McSpadden over Liberty Baptist Church." And she said, "Oh." I said, "What's your name?" She said, "Debbie." I said, "Your dog bite, or is he nice?" "He's nice." I pet him on the head, and that was the wrong thing, because you know how you pet a dog, and then they want to jump on you, jumping all over me. "Ma'am, if you died today, you know for sure you go to heaven?" "No, would you like to know?" "Oh, you would." Nice dog. And I was dancing and winning them to the Lord. Amen. And Debbie got saved, and I wish that dog is not saved anyway. I'm saying is when you have the Holy Spirit in your life and you go soul winning, people start getting saved, and then you say, "Wow, I really like this." But when you're going out just because you got to fill out an activity report, or I got to go out and I got to do the rules, then what happens? Nothing's going to be there. You're going to say, "What use is it? I'm giving up. It doesn't work." But I'm telling you, soul winning still works. People still get saved. And if you ask the Holy Spirit to go with you, you'll see things that happen that you won't see otherwise. When you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll prophesy. But also what the Bible says here, said that I will come to pass afterward, that I will pour my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. You know, the thing is, the average Christian today doesn't have any idea what God wants of him. He said when you get the Holy Spirit, that God's going to give you a vision of something he wants you to do. He said, the old men should dream dreams, the young men should see visions. Hey, I dare you, I double dog dare you to get on your knees and say, "God, what do you want me to do with my life?" I double dog dare you to get on your knees and say, "Holy Spirit, give me a vision of what I'm supposed to do with my life. Holy Spirit, show me, give me a dream, give me something to live for." You know, the trouble is that we have our own lives, but when you get the Holy Spirit, he'll give you a dream and a vision and give you a reason to get up. Look, I know that what I'm doing is what God wants me to do, and I was 15 years old. 16 years old, I found this out, and I asked the Lord to give me a vision and to give me something. I said, "Wow, Lord, I want to do something for you." And I had a map of America on my wall in my bedroom, and I would pray. I said, "Lord, let me preach all over America." I said, "Nobody in the world knows me, but would you let me preach all over America and tell people about you?" And the Lord has given me a dream and a vision. I preached all over America. I preached to crowds from 2 to 5,000. And when I preached a crowd of 2, half of the congregation got saved. How many preachers can say half of the congregation got saved when they preach? I tell you what. Hey, I tell you what, God had to do. He didn't put you here, and you didn't just show up by accident. God has a plan and a purpose for you. God has a reason for you being here. He has a ministry for you. He's got something for you to do, and he's got, just ask the Holy Spirit, "Show me what I'm supposed to do." Get a dream, get a vision, it'll come from the Holy Spirit. You know what, I'll tell you what, people say, "Well, I just don't know what I'm doing with my life." Okay, you don't have to always know what you're doing with your life when you're 17 or 18. But I'm going to tell you what, if you'll get on your face before God and ask him, he'll show you a vision and give you a vision of something that you ought to do. Look, stop and ask the Holy Spirit, "Can you see yourself? Do you have a vision? Can you see yourself as a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker or a youth director or a music man or a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist or a Christian school teacher or a bus director or a Christian school administrator? Christian camp worker, a secretary, a church secretary, a deacon, a soul winner. Look, God has a vision for you, a plan for you. Get that vision. Ask the Holy Spirit, "Show me what it is." And then once God shows it to you, once God gives you that vision, you just go forward, and don't you let anybody stop you. Don't you let anybody hold you back. Don't you let anybody keep you from it. Yeah. Oh, when I said I'm going to be a preacher, people laughed at me, Brother Ray. They said, "You going to be a preacher? You going to preach your way out of a wet paper sack? I tell you what, you be a preacher? Ha ha ha. You'll never be preached a little sawed-off front like you. Well, I'm going to tell you what, this little sawed-off front's been preaching now for 40 years, and this little sawed-off front's going to keep on preaching until the day I go to heaven. I'm going to preach, I'm preaching, preaching, preaching. You say, what happened? God said, I want you to be a preacher. He called me. He said, vision. I said, that's where I'm going. That's my vision. I'm going this way. Ain't nobody going to stop me. Get out of my way. I'm coming right through here. Get out. You better watch it, girls, because I'm not real stable on this here, all right? I'm coming right this way, and you get a vision and say, this is where I'm going. Nobody's going to stop me. Nobody's going to slow me down. Nobody's going to talk me out of it. God gave me a dream. God gave me a vision. I'm going to keep on going and tell God, and I'm going to keep on. You girls scared about something back here? I'm going. I got my dream. I got my vision. I'll tell you what, it's a little bumpy up and down, but nothing. I'm coming right where you are, sir. All right. Oh, he moved. Well, it's a big old boy. I'm going to go this way. Yeah, I'm going this way, and nobody's going to stop me. I'm serving God. I'm going to keep on serving God, and I'm too tired to go further. Relax. All right. What you need to do is get yourself a vision from God Almighty and say, I'm going to get it, and don't you let anybody stop you. Don't you let anybody slow you down. Don't you let anybody talk you out of it. You just keep going and keep going and say, God's called me. God's going to use me, and keep on going for God. My soul, get a vision of what God has for you and go after it. Do something big for God. My soul, he says, hey, look, Christian life's more than rules and regulations. It's a dream. It's a vision. It's living. Look, I'm living my dream. I'm living my vision. I'm living every day. I get up every day and I say, woo, I'm a preacher. I get to do something for God today. This is wonderful. Why? I had a dream. I got a vision. Look, when you get filled, by the way, that's the Holy Spirit to give you more strength than me to give you. I'm too old to do this stuff anymore. What is it? Get a dream. Get a vision. By the way, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll live for others. The Bible says here, it came to pass. Shall come to pass afterward. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and the handmaids on those days will I pour out my spirit. Let me ask you, why do you think God says servants and handmaids and not kings and princes? Because he wants his people to be servants. He wants you to live for others. You know, the thing is, we live in a selfish society. Me society. Me, 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 me. Mine, 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 mine. I want what I want. I want what I want. You have an activity plan. If I come out to activity, we're going to have a good time. If I have a good time, come on out. It's going to be fun. If it ain't going to be no fun, I ain't going to come because I don't want to have fun. If it ain't going to be no fun, I ain't going to come because I don't want to have fun. It's going to be fun. Have youth activity at church. Hey, kids, come on out. We're going to have an activity. It's going to be fun. If it ain't going to be no fun, I ain't going to come because I want to have fun. If it ain't going to be no fun, I ain't going to come. It's going to be fun. You know, the most fun you'll ever have in your life is living for others. Instead of going to activity, ask, can you help in the activity? Look, when you live for others, you're going to have more fun than you've ever had in your life. I love doing certain that when I drive through and there's a toll booth, you know what I'm talking about? So I'll pay for the person behind me. I don't know who they are. I just pay for it. And you talk about fun. I pay, say this is for me and for the folks behind me. Okay, they take it, and then I watch in the mirror. I'm driving along. And I look, and they pull up, and they pay, and the people go. So then I drive slow enough for them to catch up. Because they're curious. They want to see who did this, you know. So they drive up by me, and they'll look at me, and I'll wave. Hey, how you doing? They go, hey, how are you? Who is that? You know, like, thank you. Oh, yeah. You know, you're good to see you. You say you talk about fun. Yeah, you say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm talking about living for others. You find some way to help other people and serve others, you're going to have fun. I'm going to tell you what. Look, why don't you quit being so selfish? Well, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be all selfish again. You get filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to live for others. I've got to go on and I've got to finish this up. Listen carefully. Why don't you go ahead and decide you're going to live for others? Ask the Holy Spirit to give you a burden for others. Make feed a hungry bus kid. Get groceries for some elderly lady. Mow a lawn for somebody that can't mow their lawn. Do your roommate's dorm duties. What? I don't know who put that in there. Make your roommate's bed. What? Make my roommate's bed? Yeah, make your roommate's bed. And I'm not talking about short sheeting it either, all right? Bible says, If you get filled with the Holy Spirit, God said he'll pour his spirit upon all flesh, and you'll prophesy. You'll be able to tell others about Christ. You'll have a dream and a vision, something that you're going to do. You become a servant and live for others. And then he says, and I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth. You know, the average person never ever sees a miracle. When's the last time that you prayed and God answered in a miraculous way? When's the last time that you saw something wonderful happen? You said, wow, man, isn't God good? Wow, this is amazing. Look, I'm telling you, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you have the Holy Spirit upon your life, you'll tell others about Christ. You'll live for others. You'll have a dream and a vision, and you'll see more wonders than you'll ever have. I'm going to tell you what, it's a miracle. I was preaching down in Kansas. We have some folks from Kansas here. Couple, all right. They won't want to admit it, but that's all right. I was preaching there, and I had to get to the airport, and I had to fly to Chicago, and it was on my birthday. Let's try that again. I had to get up real early that morning. Catch it. It was one of those 6 o'clock in the morning flights. I'm not even awake at 6 o'clock in the morning. Anybody gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's not right with God. It's good preaching, ain't it? It's good preaching. I had to catch the plane at 6, and I had to be there. You know, now with all the security, I had to be there like 2 hours early and all this. The preacher said, I'll pick you up about 3:30 or 4 o'clock. Okay, fine. So I'm up waiting, and he didn't come. I called him. I said, oh, my soul overslept. I'll be right there. He comes flying in. He's coming in. He pulls up in the car. I get in. He says, get in. We're flying down the road, zigzagging in and out of traffic, and I'm going, oh, my soul. But that morning, I had said, Lord, this is my birthday. Would you do something special for me on my birthday? I got to travel all day. I'm not even going to get home till late tonight. I had to do all this traveling. Lord, would you help me and do something for my birthday? And I got on the phone. I get in that car. He's driving. I'm singing, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Zigzag. He said, I'll get you there. I'm running the airport. I got it. They said, we'll get you to the head of the line. It's not even 6 o'clock yet. Security, they check your stuff, dude. You go, they're loading the plane. I get on the plane. Man, they check my ticket. Okay, I went. I started looking. And I always fly in coach because I can't afford the other kind, you know. I'm walking back, and all of a sudden the numbers are too big. I'm looking. I turn around, and it's in first class. I said, what they don't know won't hurt them. I sat down. Hope they don't find out. Sitting in first class. This is all right. And one of the ladies got on the plane, and she says, sir, you're not really supposed to be in first class. I go, yeah, they caught me. She said, but I just felt like you needed something special today, so I put you in first class. She said, but you won't get the breakfast that they get because you didn't pay for it, but you can sit up here. I said, oh, thank you. That's wonderful, wonderful. I'm sitting there. The ladies come around. They're serving the breakfast. She said, would you like a breakfast? I said, ma'am, I didn't pay for it. I'm not really supposed to be here, you know, but they just let me be here in the first class. And she said, well, we have an extra one. You can have it if you want. And I go, I take it. Eating my breakfast in first class. It dawned on me, God gave me a birthday present. Say, that's just coincidence. It ain't happened since or before. What I'm saying this morning is, young people, Christianity is much more than just a bunch of rules and regulations. Christianity is so much more than just a bunch of things you can't do and a bunch of things you have to do. Christianity is so much more than a bunch of things you have to wear and a bunch of things you can't wear. Christianity is so much more than just a bunch of things you have to say and a bunch of things you can't say. Christianity is so much more than that. When you get the Holy Spirit in your life and the whole God says, I'll pour my spirit upon you, and when he pours his spirit upon you, you'll prophesy, you'll see people get saved, and you're going to be excited about it. You're going to love it. It's going to be wonderful. When you get the Holy Spirit in your life, you're going to have a vision. You're going to see that God has something for you. He's going to have a plan for you. He'll give you a dream. He'll give you something worth getting up for every day and living for every day. He's going to give that to you, a reason to be here other than to exist. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll live for others and you'll have more fun than you ever had. When you get the Holy Spirit in your life, you're going to see miracles and wonders. And I could tell you, but I don't have enough time, about all the wonderful things that God has. And I'm honest, I'm telling you the truth. When I wake up in the morning, first thing I do is I say, Lord, thank you for giving me another day to serve you. Thank you for letting me get up again to serve you today. And I get up every day. I don't mope and grope, oh, I got to go again. Got to go up that church. Got to go up there and deal with all that stuff. Got to go up, blah, blah, blah. No, my soul, I can't hardly wait to get up there. I go to the church, say, why? Because I wonder what's going to happen next. It's exciting. Just the other day, some fella came by, I didn't even know. He said, are you the pastor? I said, I am. He said, well, I want to do something for the church. I said, what's that? He gave me a check for $1,000. I said, my name is Bill McSpadden. If you have another $1,000 check, we'll do this. He said, what are you talking about? I'm saying it's a wonderful life, young people. When you get the Holy Spirit in your life directing you and guiding you, you will not be, look, it'll be more than you can understand when you talk about an abundant Christian life. And I'm going to finish with this. So let me ask you this. Aren't you tired of living the dead, dry Christianity? Aren't you tired of just living by the rules that kill, the letter killeth? Aren't you tired of it? Aren't you tired of never seeing anybody get saved? Aren't you tired of not ever seeing a miracle, anything wonderful happen in life? Aren't you tired of that selfish life and not having joy? Aren't you tired of not having a purpose and a reason to get up in the day, but just kind of, que sera, sera, what will be, will be? Aren't you tired of living that kind of a life? I'm not upset with you. I'm telling you what I went through. I was right there. And I said, Lord, if that's all it is, I don't want it. But I found out there's so much more to it. And you can have the abundant Christian life. But aren't you tired of living that old dead life? Today's the day for you to make a difference. Today's the day for you to get on your knees and say, Holy Spirit, give me a dream. Give me a vision. Holy Spirit, let me see someone get saved. Holy Spirit, let me see this wonderful life that preacher's talking about. Holy Spirit, come on my life. Fill me. Use me. If the Lord spoke to you about it, the altar's available. You come and do what God told you to do.